Should you rely on leaky walls for your building's fresh air supply? And should you use damp ceiling cavities for HVAC return ducts? Probably not, but these conditions are more common and more unhealthy than you might think.
Welcome to GBA Radio.
This podcast series is excerpted from a two-day seminar on building science fundamentals taught by Dr. Joe Stiebrick and Dr. John Straub of Building Science Corporation. For information on attending a live class, go to buildingscienceseminars.com. Last week, Dr. Joe outlined a simple way of looking at air quality in a building. This week, he describes a common air quality problem in commercial buildings and some possible solutions.
We have a drop ceiling air handler, right? You put two or three air handlers in a drop ceiling, the supply system is fully ducted, but the return isn't. You're just simply pulling air out of the drop ceiling. So that entire drop ceiling goes to a negative pressure. So air is injected down, air is pulled up into the negative pressure field above the drop ceiling, and we have air circulation. But this negative pressure field intersects the exterior at the roof parapet connection. You rarely have the interior gypsum board connected to the top. And even if you do, it's not sealed. Somebody just shoves in a little bit of mineral wool. So whatever is in that exterior wall or in the parapet is being sucked right out of that exterior wall into the return system and injected out the supply system into the breathing zone of the occupied space. You've actually coupled your building enclosure to the occupant. The parapets are often the fresh air intake for most buildings. And if it's hot and humid outside, what kind of air are you bringing in? Hot, humid air. If it hits a cold surface, like say a chilled water line, what's going to happen? It's going to condense and it's going to drip. The mechanical engineer doesn't account for this load. This is a hidden load, a latent load, a humidity load that he's unaware of. You know, you don't know what's there. It's not in the calculations. It's there in the real world, but nobody thinks about it. This is a big deal. Now, if you're lucky, and you rarely are, if you're lucky, you get enough condensation so that it drips through and you can actually see a stain. But you normally get just enough condensation to cause the humidity to rise in the drop ceiling, but not enough for it to stain through the material. And when the humidity goes up, the thing that you notice is it begins to stink. And there are several distinct odors. The first one is the odor of vomit. How many people remember what puke smells like? Well, puke has a distinctive odor, and it's actually called butyric acid, which comes from the fermentation of starch. Well, butyric acid is emitted from ceiling tile that are made out of cellulose and a starch binder. When the humidity goes above 80-85%, the butyric acid is emitted and you have the distinctive odor of vomit. So one of the most common things that you do when you lose control of the relative humidity because of the coupling of the negative pressure plenum to the outside wall is you get a whiff of vomit. Now, when I go into a building and I go, I don't let the client know that I'm using my nose, my built-in gas chromatograph, to figure out that what's going on. But if I smell butyric acid, I know I've lost control of the relative humidity and I know it's the darn ceiling tile. It's like, you know, the smoking gun that if you've ever smelled it and you now know the connection, you know exactly what's going on. So that's the first distinctive odor. The second distinctive odor is that the coils on the air handler usually stay much wetter longer because there's moisture there that nobody anticipated being there. And you will often get a red bacteria growing on the coil, and it gives off the odor of John's socks. We don't call it John's sock syndrome. We call it dirty sock syndrome. There's a distinctive odor. It's like a locker room. And so you go in and you go sniff. And if you smell vomit or you smell a dirty sock, you're immediately focusing on what? Drop ceiling return plenum negative pressures coupled to the exterior wall. The third odor is going to be a mold or musty odor. So you smell mold or musty odor, or you smell vomit, or you smell a dirty sock, and those are distinctive. I mean, they're not all of the time, but 8 out of 10 times, you pretty much have got it sourced out that you've basically have coupled your return plenum to the exterior wall. Remember, I'm talking to you as an engineer. I'm not talking to you as a scientist or a physicist. I'm just telling you, my experience has told me that when I walk into a building and I'm thinking, what? People, pollutant, path, pressure, hot, wet, UV, ozone, this relationship is true. This is so common, I don't go to the projects anymore. I don't want to go. I'm bored. I'm tired. I send the youngsters in the office. But they don't want to go either because they're bored too. And so, you know, the client gets all annoyed because John or I get the work, but we don't go out there. You know, they get all pissed off. They say, huh, we hired the Great Oz and you sent us Toto. So sometimes I have to go. And so I take a youngster with me to abuse them. We get the call and I go, and I don't want to get out of the car in the parking lot. I don't have to get out of the car in the parking lot. I was with Coda at the time. He goes, Joe, you got to get out of the car. Get out of the car. Come on, get out of the car. I'm not getting out of the car. I don't have to get out of the goddamn car. It's stupid. And says, you know, look. And, you know, Coda's going, what? Look, you don't have to get out of the car. I have brick, right? So I have what? A reservoir cladding. I don't have to put a hole in the wall to know that I got what? Mortar droppings. You know that it's steel studs because they're all frickin' steel studs. You know that they're dense glass gold because they're all frickin' dense glass gold. You know that they all have Tyvek. If they don't, they have tar paper. You know you got frickin' fiberglass in the wall cavity. And it's a 50-50 chance that I've got a plastic vapor barrier or vinyl wallpaper on the inside. Now, what kind of a mechanical system do I have? 9 times out of 10, I'm going to have what? Drop ceiling return plenum. So before I get out of the darn car, out of the parking lot, I have a 9 out of 10 certainty that whatever is in that wall is not going to be good, and it's in the breathing zone of the occupied space. But they're paying me, and so I have to get my fat ass out of the car and go in. So I'm not happy about it. So the first thing you do is you pop the ceiling tile, but you do it in the corner office to piss off the CEO that made you go there. Ed, what do you see? There's no connection between the gypsum board and the underside of the roof. You can actually see the exposed fiberglass, right? We knew that. And it's dusty. Why is it dusty? You're pulling the air through it. So we're just actually sucking on it. So, you know, I knew it was a problem because, well, you know, after it rains, 3 or 4 days later, we always get this musty odor. You know, so, well, you know, okay, we'll send somebody out. We want you! Okay, so off I go. I'm out of the car, and I'm laughing at this. So how do we fix it? Well, we run the gypsum board up to the underside. We now try to make a positive connection by spraying PVA, polyvinyl acetate, and some Pookie. But we want Pookie that don't burn. It ain't easy to find Pookie that don't burn, so you're going to use something like, you know, fire dam from 3M because it's a Pookie that don't burn. Are we done yet? No. Then what do? We add something called a return duct to the air handler. This is something that engineers don't know about. It's not very big. It's very, very short. It just has to attach to the unit and go right down through the ceiling tile. Are you with me on this? So I'm no longer sucking from where? I'm not sucking from the drop ceiling. I'm sucking from the space. Then I take every 15th tile and I throw it away and put in a grill. And what's the function of the grill? Equalize the pressure. So I don't want to suck on the wall anymore, so I'm bleeding the negative pressure field. I'm bleeding it two ways. One, I'm putting a return duct on it. Two, I'm perforating the ceiling. Well, why won't the return duct itself work? Well, because you know that the ductwork and the air handler and all of the pieces are going to leak no matter how good you are. And you don't know whether that leakage is going to be on the return or the supply side. You just know it's going to do what? It's going to leak. And so by perforating it, it means that you're going to equalize the pressure regardless of what's going on. It's like what you've done is if you've put that thing in the middle of the room. If you've now put it in the middle of the room from a pressure field perspective, it's doing only what we wanted it to do in the first place, which is to circulate the air without causing a pressure difference. So that's it. So, you disconnect, you fill the hole, you bleed the pressure field, and you're done. If I had just run the gypsum board to make that connection, and I didn't do anything else, would there have been a problem? And the answer is, it depends on how good of a connection I made between the ceiling and the gypsum board. It's very, very difficult to make a good connection. And so we would still have stuff being pulled out of the wall. We just wouldn't have very much being pulled out of the wall. But now it becomes a dilution question. What's the rate of removal via ventilation versus the rate that we're sucking it in? And that's impossible to determine unless you actually do what now? Measure. But measuring isn't easy. What are you measuring for? See, do you measure the tiny particles or the medium-sized particles or the big-sized particles? And are they viable or non-viable? Well, then you have to plant them and grow them and nurture them like a farmer, you know. And depending on what relative humidity you incubate them at is going to determine what you get. Anyway, there's about 42 different combinations that you'd have to do for each sample. It's more difficult to figure out what's going on with sampling than to just say, you know what, screw it. I should probably take the ceiling tile out and put in the return and bleed the pressure, because the cost of the diagnosis is going to be more expensive than the repair. The big decision should be, is my wall getting wet and soggy, and should I intervene and fix that? And more often than not, we don't get a shot at that. Why? Well, let's talk to you about the politics. Who called me into the space? It was usually the tenant, not the landlord. So I'm fixing what I can within the tenant's control. Okay, moldies, raise your hands. Now what do we deal with? Well, you got mold where? By the vinyl. My answer to you is, so freaking what? It's not where? Inside. Well, can I leave it there? Yeah. Well, what's the consequences of leaving it there? Well, depends on how much moisture's coming in. At some point, the gypsum board might get what? Soft. And so you're going to have to intervene in the places where you actually have a physical breakdown of the product. That's not usually everywhere. It's usually just on the south and the west exposures. You only rip it out if you have access to what? OPM, other people's money. And if so, if you have access to money, the conservative safe bet is to do what? Rip it out, because the world is filled with stupid people that think it's dangerous. If it's not coming out of the wall, I don't care. If I have access to money, I'm going to take it out because somebody's going to think it's going to affect the real estate value. You know what? That in itself is a justification to take it out. If you have access to what? Money. But if you don't have access to money, leave it there. We get all kinds of people who have moldy crawl spaces, and they're poor. They don't have $20,000 to decontaminate a frickin' crawl space, you know, but we scare them. Oh, you're all gonna die. Well, you frickin' close the crawl space vents, put in a $100 exhaust fan, a radon fan, and suck on it, and the air moves in the other direction, and what have we done? We've left the mold in place. You know, big freaking deal. But that's not a popular view, because there's an awful lot of money available to do what? Mold remediation and scare people. Now, what do I do? At the end of the day, you have to solve what? The mold problem. And you solve it by solving the water problem that caused the mold problem. What you should probably do is take the vinyl wallpaper off, right? Now, what happens is that you have to be careful when you take it off, because what's going to be behind it? And one of the ways you should deal with mold is deal with it like you deal with drywall dust, right? Because if you rip it off, that's when you trash the rest of the building, right? So you ought not to have it spread around. So if you're going to take it off, you may as well hire somebody to take it off correctly. But you only do that if you have access to people who can actually pay for it. Otherwise, you're going to do what? Leave it alone. So, pretty fundamental example of people, pollutant, path, pressure.
Tune in next week when Dr. John discusses the demands our buildings put on our resources and our environment.
GBA Radio is a production of greenbuildingadvisor.com. Thanks for listening.